Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. I sure hope your Christmas was God-honoring and wonderful and filled with joy, time with friends and family members, or maybe spent alone and yet never alone because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says He will never leave you nor forsake you. So I do hope you had the opportunity to maybe spend some time in God's Word and spend time with God as we celebrated Christmas, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Well, I have another special broadcast for you by Family Life Today titled Three Stories of Christmas with Dennis Rainey, Bob Lapine, and Max Licato. Maybe now with our crazy schedule slowing down, this Christmas message can be heard with new ears. Also, a quick FYI, Great News Radio will continue to air Christmas music through the end of the year, so be sure to tune in and really capture the essence of this Christmas season with God-honoring Christmas music through midnight on December 31st. All right, here's our special, and it'll cover 28 more minutes covering up SRN News.
Artaban, priest of the Magi, to my brothers in Borsippa, greetings in the name of the God of Lights. I have been studying the sky each morning and each night, watching for the sign to appear again, as it did for one night in the spring. I have made ready for my journey. In this my 40th year, I have sold my house and my possessions and have bought 3 jewels, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl. I will carry these as my tribute to the king. Keep a fervent watch from Borsippa, as I will hear. If the sign rises again, linger 10 days. I will ride to meet you at the temple of the 7 spheres. Let us set out together to worship the promised one.
And welcome to 3 Stories for Christmas. I'm Bob Lapine, along with the host of our program today, the executive director of Family Life, Dennis Rainey. Dennis is a best-selling author and conference speaker and the host of the daily radio program Family Life Today. Family Life is an organization that for the last 20 years has been committed to glorifying God, making Christ known, and being used by God in a family reformation. Dennis, welcome to 3 Stories for Christmas.
You know, it's really great to take a break from all that's been going on around Christmas time, and we'll just spend some time reflecting on the real meaning of Christmas. And so what I'd encourage you to do is to gather your family around and listen as we present to you a special broadcast of 3 Stories for Christmas. This will be a great time of focusing on what Christmas is all about.
Tell us about the first story we're going to hear today.
Well, Henry Van Dyke in 1892 was a preacher. He was a scholar. Many people believe that the research he did on this story may well represent the most research that has ever gone into any Christmas story. As you may recall, the tradition of Christmas was that 3 kings went on a long journey to find the Savior. And what this story is all about is the 4th wise man that sought out Christ.
Here is Henry Van Dyke's 100-year-old Christmas story, The Other Wise Man.
Oh, dear Lord, what does your sky tell me tonight? Oh, creator of the sky, the azure spark, a new star. The king is coming. The king is coming.
Artaban mounted Vazda, his horse, and began the 600-mile journey to Babylonia. He pressed Vazda, each stride, knowing that he must ride wisely to meet Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar in only 10 days. It was a beautiful ride over the gentle slopes of Mount Orontes, across the level plains of the Nisians, through the fertile fields of Concavar. At Bagistan, he saw the figure of King Darius carved in the mountain cliff. Artaban pressed onward until nightfall of his 10th day.
What's wrong, Vazda?
Help me.
God of truth, I have 3 hours' ride to get there, and my friends will leave in 3 hours. What would you have me do?
Help me.
Drink now. More. More. Here, this loaf of bread is all I have left. I'll leave this water with you as well. I must go. Let go of my arm.
Wait. The Messiah.
What about the Messiah?
The prophets say he won't be born in Jerusalem. He's going to be born in Bethlehem.
Well, my friends will know where to go. We've seen a sign. Now, please, let me go.
God of Abraham, bless you.
God be praised. Vazda.
It was as if Artaban's desire to arrive by midnight was adopted by Vazda. Vazda galloped into Babylonia. When they arrived at the temple, there was no sign of the Magians. At the edge of the terrace, Artaban found a small piece of parchment.
We have waited past the midnight and can delay no longer. We go to find the king. Sell your sapphire to acquire provisions and follow us across the desert.
Oh God, be merciful to me.
Artaban's journey to Bethlehem was more difficult, but he pressed on with the same intensity. He must find the king. After 4 days, Artaban was weary, yet still full of hope.
Excuse me. Your door was open. I am trying to find three men from the east. They came to worship a newborn king.
Did they follow a star?
Yes.
They were here. About 3 days ago, they found a man named Joseph and his wife and their little baby son.
Can you tell me where the child is, the son of Joseph?
The whisperers down at the well, they say that they left for Egypt, all because of a dream. They say Joseph dreamed that Roman soldiers were coming to kill his son and our children.
Quick, hide!
What's that noise?
We'll return to the conclusion of The Other Wise Men in just a minute.
You are listening to a post-Christmas special on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio.
Welcome back to Three Stories for Christmas. And now, the conclusion of The Other Wise Men.
Check over there. Leave no door unopened.
Step aside.
There are no children here. And this ruby is for the soldier who will leave me alone.
March on!
Oh, God. Forgive me.
Sir, you've saved my son's life. May God make his face to shine upon you, and may he give you peace.
Even with a mother's blessing of peace, Artaban was discouraged. He traveled to Egypt, still searching for the baby of Bethlehem. After a time, he gave up his search, but not his quest. He received counsel from a Hebrew rabbi who showed him the prophecies that foretold the sufferings of the Messiah.
But the prophet Isaiah said, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You will not find him in a palace. Look for him among the lowly."
Now the other wise man traveled from place to place searching for his king among those who experienced famine or plague. He ministered in prisons and the slave markets. He fed the hungry, clothed the naked, and healed the sick. Through it all, he still found no one to worship. When he was 73, Artaban traveled one last time to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. The city was overflowing. Instead of hearing the sounds of the great feast, Artaban heard the sounds of rioting.
What's going on here?
We're crucifying the one who calls himself the King of the Jews.
Have pity on me, sir. I need a ransom for my debt, please. Have pity on me.
Here's your ransom. This is the last of my treasures for the king. Go in peace. When did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did I see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did I see you sick or in prison and come to you?
The other wise man finally saw his king.
That's a powerful story.
And it's a great reminder of what Christmas is all about. And the real question for you right now is, do you know Christ? Do you know the peace of God and the forgiveness of God that is found only in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross? And if you've not found him, may I encourage you, get the Gospel of John and read through its 21 chapters and begin to pursue Christ, even as Artaban did on the story today.
You are listening to a radio special entitled Three Stories for Christmas. Our host is Dennis Rainey, the Executive Director of Family Life. Coming up later, we've got a story from best-selling author and storyteller Max Lucado that helps us understand what God has done for us at Christmas time.
Yeah, and before we do that, you know, at this season, it's so easy to lose sight of the real meaning of Christmas. And it's so easy to get lost in the materialism of this season. You know, it can happen in anybody's house. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're featuring a story by Mary Lamoya called Glory to the Newborn King. I think it will help you and your family really focus on the real meaning of Christmas.
Craig Cunningham moved here when he was 7. His father took a teaching job at Stratford Academy. After college, Craig came back to Franklin to teach and pace in front of the same blackboard his father did. Last year, on a cool, crisp night at the beginning of December, Craig sat perfectly still. Ruthie, his 8-year-old daughter, sat in his lap. Together, they scrutinized the night sky.
Daddy, is that star as bright as the one the wise men saw?
Which one?
Dad, that one, the bright one.
Oh, I don't know, sweetie. You know, I bet you God created a special star, kind of a birthday gift for his son.
I like stars.
Okay, enough stargazing for us tonight.
Shh!
Oh.
We don't want Mommy to hear.
Sorry. Maybe we'll get to put the pieces together tonight.
Ruthie and her dad were finishing up a jewelry box for Mom. Next door at the Higginfritz home, things weren't as peaceful.
Dad! Dad!
What?
Come in here!
Don't talk to me that way, Ginger. I'll be there in a minute.
Don't yell at your daughter. Just get those boxes out of the attic. I need to finish decorating this tree tonight.
Fine. I'll get your confounded boxes.
Don't break anything this year.
I'll get him. I don't care.
The good doctor, an orthopedic surgeon with two partners, an oak-paneled office, and a Lexus, went to the attic to find the 9 red and green boxes stacked neatly on the west floor of the attic. One by one, he handed them down to his wife, who in turn arranged them in ascending order on the dining room table. Somewhere between box 5 and 6... Christmas season was officially underway for the Higginfritz family.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Let's see here. Silk blouses for Nana and Mother. Ties for Dad and Granddad. Oh, I can't believe Ginger. This list gets longer every year. Ginger! It's time to leave for school!
Okay!
Oh, well, I guess you're only young once.
Ruthie, where are you taking me?
Keep your eyes closed.
It smells weird.
I know. Keep them closed just a little longer.
Ugh.
Ta-da!
Wow, what is that?
It's a jewelry box for my mom. Now be careful.
You did this by yourself?
No. My dad did most of it. But I helped. I helped a lot.
I wish my dad did stuff like that with me.
Ruthie, Ginger, come on up here
Shh.
For a minute.
Don't go. Let's stay here and play.
Coming! Come on, Ginger. Let's go.
Why?
Because I'm supposed to obey my mom.
Why?
Sunday school, the 10 commandments, you know, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you.
Huh?
You don't remember?
Remember what? Oh, nothing.
I thought you girls would like to make some Christmas cookies.
Yeah,
all right.
Sure. Can I help too?
Just don't eat too much dough this time.
Oh, I won't. I won't.
Now, Ginger, why don't you sift the flour and... Hello. Oh, hi, Helen. Yes, Ginger's here.
Oh, great. Mom would call right when I was going to get to do something fun. Good figures.
Ginger! Ginger! Wait just a minute. I want you to take some of these home.
Thanks.
Mom, could we finish Ginger's doll tonight?
Sure thing, honey. You bet.
Ginger, hurry up. This is the only night we have to do your Christmas shopping.
Okay. Mrs. Cunningham sent over this loaf of banana bread. She made it herself.
Okay, great. We're going to Billion Books. We can get everything there.
Mom, I don't want to buy my friends books. They don't read books for fun.
Oh, books are great. They're educational, easy to wrap, and most importantly, they're on sale tonight for only 35% off. Now let's go.
Hi, how are you doing? You'll never
believe... Merry Christmas!
What is it? Thank you.
Duh, it's a gift.
Just a second, I'll go get yours. It's in the dining room.
Okay.
My, what expensive wrapping paper. Wait a minute, did you make this yourself?
Yes, ma'am. Me and Mom and Joshua do it every Christmas. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, how lovely.
Here it is.
Oh, Ginger, open yours up first.
Well, okay. Oh,
do you like it?
It's the most beautiful doll I've ever seen. Thank you. Thank you so much. I love it.
You're welcome.
Ginger, that can go right beside your collection of Madame Alexander dolls.
Christmas Eve finally arrived. Like most families in Franklin, both the Cunninghams and the Higginfritzes fought the crowd to see the Winstead lights.
Lines! Why don't these people just stay home?
For the same reason we didn't, Charles.
Hey, look at that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes, Ginger, that's nice. But, oh, look at those reindeer.
Okay, here we are.
I love this view, Greg. You can see the whole city from up here.
Look at all those cars. Look at all those lights.
3.5 million lights.
Dad, is that the star the wise men saw?
Shush. I bet you God created a special star. Kind of a birthday gift for his son, Jesus.
Oh, that's right, Josh.
That's a great story.
It really is. And it reminds us, you know, that it really is more blessed to give than to receive. But I'll tell you, as we run about at this Christmas season, it is so easy to lose sight of the privilege it is of giving, and we get exhausted, and we sometimes can become angry with the people that we're giving the gifts to.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know what I would challenge you to do this Christmas? Why don't you consider giving gifts of love in the form of words? Words that are crafted to parents of honor and of blessing them for the job they did of raising you. Words of care for your spouse, of what he or she has meant to you. And words of affirmation and encouragement for your children. Make this Christmas a time of giving gifts that come from the heart. And sometimes our words can be the best package we could ever possibly give.
That's a great assignment from the host of our broadcast today, Dennis Rainey, the Executive Director of Family Life. You're listening to 3 Stories for Christmas. Coming up next, Max Lucado joins us with a story about dots and stars. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Great News Radio. Back to the story.
And welcome back to Three Stories for Christmas from Family Life. And we've got a great story saved for last year.
We really do. Max Lucado is perhaps one of the greatest storytellers of all time. And he has written a series of stories in the book called Tell Me the Secrets. And one of those stories is called The Wemmicks. And it's about a woodcarver and one of the wooden people that he created called Puccinello and the lesson that Puccinello learned.
The Wemmicks were small wooden people. Each of the wooden people was carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Every Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others large eyes. Some were tall, others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver, and all lived in the same village. And all day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and a box of gray dot stickers. Up and down the streets, all over the city, people could be seen sticking dots or stars on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint was chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. The talented ones got stars, too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words or could sing very pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good that they did something else and got another star. Others, though, could do little, and they got dots. Puccinello was one of these. Puccinello tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, others would gather around him and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, it would scar his wood, so the people would give him more dots. He would try to explain why he fell and say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him more dots. After a while, Puccinello had so many dots, he didn't want to go outside. In fact, he had so many gray dots, some Wemmicks would come up and give him a dot without a reason. He deserves a lot of dots, the wooden people would agree with one another. He's not a good wooden person. And after a while, Puccinello believed them. One day he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he had ever met. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It was just that the stickers didn't stick. Some admired her for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star, but it would fall off. Someone looked down on her for having no stars, so they would run up and give her a dot, but it wouldn't stay. "Now that's the way I want to be," thought Puccinello. "I don't want anyone's marks." So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. "It's easy," she replied. "Every day I go see Eli." "Eli?" "Yes, Eli, the woodcarver. I sit in the workshop with him." "Why?" "Why don't you find out for yourself?" she said. "Go up the hill. He's there." And with that, the Wemmick with no marks turned and left. "But he won't want to see me," Puccinello cried out. But she didn't hear, and he resolved to go see Eli. Puccinello walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. Puccinello swallowed hard. "I'm not staying here." But as he turned to leave, he heard his name. "Puccinello?" The voice was deep and strong. "Puccinello, how good to see you. Come and let me have a look at you." Puccinello turned slowly and looked at the large, bearded craftsman. "You know my name?" "Of course I do. I made you." Eli stooped down and picked him up and set him on the bench. "You've been given some bad marks." I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard. Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what they think.
You don't?
No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give stars or dots? They're just Wemmicks like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think. And you know what? I think you're pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why, I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on the wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly. You matter to me because you're mine. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met someone who had no marks. I know, Eli said. She told me about you. Why don't the stickers stay on her? Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you, Eli explained. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I don't understand. You will, but it will take time. You've got a lot of marks, Punchinello. For now, just come to see me every day, and let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and sat him on the ground. Remember, Eli said as the Wemmick walked out the door, you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground.
It's fun. It's always great to listen to a story from Max Lucado.
He is all time. And I think what he reminds us of here today is especially applicable here at the Christmas season, and that is to always be mindful of what our Creator says about us. And I think of the verse over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which reads, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God is at work in our lives wanting to will and to do His own good pleasure through us. And what we need to realize is as we submit to Him, we can become vessels and partners in life with God to experience Him and reflect Him to people who need to see Him at this crucial time of the year.
You know, I'm glad we had an opportunity to hear these stories to reorder our thinking as we head toward the Christmas celebration. I want to thank our host, the Executive Director of Family Life, Dennis Rainey. Wish you a very Merry Christmas and invite you to write to us. Our address is Family Life Today, Box 8220, Little Rock, Arkansas, and our zip code is 72221. Thanks for listening to Three Stories for Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas.
I sure hope you were blessed by these three stories for Christmas by Family Life Today as much as I was. Be sure to stay tuned in for great God-honoring Christmas music through the end of the year. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.